If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Mark. And out of the 16th chapter, I will begin reading at the 9th verse. St. Mark 16, beginning at verse 9, the Bible reads, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Supporting scripture, Paul's writing to the Romans, 10th chapter, beginning at verse 8. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Supporting scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If we are to use a thought or a subject this morning, we like to speak from the thought, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. Somebody in here this morning is trying to make 100. Somebody realized that once you start out on this Christian journey, 99 and a half just won't do. We got to make 100. And in order for us to make that 100, we got to sometimes make sacrifices. And we're celebrating today a day of sacrifice that goes beyond measure. A day in which we can be glorified, a day in which we could have this sense of joy and this sense of peace and a reason to praise him and to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. And don't you know that out of all that I got to say this morning, the bottom line is all you got to do is believe. We come on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning to worship and to praise God who have allowed his only son to be born in the flesh and know what it felt like to suffer pain and anguish, betrayal and hate. And yet he opened not his mouth. He died and had already declared that he would get up on the third day. And I'm here to declare today that he lives, and that the blood has not lost its power. The blood of Jesus is still as powerful as it was as it was streaming down his face. I believe this morning that too many times we take Jesus for granted. We take for granted the fact that there was somebody that loved us so much that he died a shameful death for your sins and for my sins. And last week, as we proposed a question to you as to whether you knew Jesus for yourself, now I'm wondering, do you realize just what Jesus did for you on Calvary? Isaiah saw it like this as he prophesied in the 53rd chapter. Surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. There's somebody in here being touched by God right now. There was a testimony by our mother this morning that said, I had a stroke, I had pneumonia, and I had other complications, but by the grace and the power of God, I'm here one more time. There are those under the sound of my voice this morning going back and forth to the doctor and taking all kinds of medication, and everything seemingly is getting a little bit better. But of all that you're going through this morning, know that you know that God is yet healing your body. Know that God is a healer despite what the doctor might say, despite what you might see with your natural eye. God is able to do anything but fail. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. So in other words, God, Jesus Christ, took on all of our sins, all the nasty things that you've done in your life. I wonder this morning, do you really know why Jesus died for you? A lot of times we try to figure out things that are going on over across town or in somebody else's life. But think about what God has done for you. As we celebrate Easter this time of year, the Jewish Passover, which was at one time a festival of celebration for spring. It referred to the sacrifice of a lamb in Egypt when the people of Israel were slaves. They smeared the blood on their doorposts as a signal to God that he should pass over their houses when he destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt. A lot of times we need to know exactly what's going on in our lives. Easter, as we know it, is a feast or festival of the Christian church that commemorates the resurrection of Christ. It is celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs on or after March the 21st. Jesus was crucified in the city during one of the Jewish Passover celebrations. He and his disciples ate a Passover meal together the night before his death. Last Sunday, as we celebrated and shared in Palm Sunday, which started his final week of his earthly ministry, as we reflect briefly on the things that happened throughout that week. On that Sunday, he had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And all of the people of God was crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord God Almighty. As they waved palm branches, as they laid their clothes down, as they gave him the red carpet treatment as he came into the city of Jerusalem. Well, now on Monday, as Jesus got into Jerusalem, he stopped by the temple. When he got by the temple, he found that things just was not in order. The Bible said that we ought to do all things decently and in order. The Bible said that my house shall be called the house of prayer. But when Jesus stopped by the house of prayer, they were selling things and they were doing things that were out of the will of God. So they tell me that Jesus got a little upset about this situation, and he even went as far as to go and overturn the tables. You know, God ought to step in some of our church houses. And those of us that are sitting around acting like God owes us something. Those of us that are thinking about things that ought not be so in the house of God. Those of us that don't want nobody else to feel what God wants them to feel. They need to realize that God ought to come in sometime and just overthrow things. Now, if somebody got up and came and turned over this table, I believe them brothers going to have some problem with you. But if Jesus came in, hallelujah, Jesus, you might not like it, but wouldn't be a thing you can do with it. I'm sure there were those in the temple on that Monday that said, who do you think he is? Messing up my trade. We don't like for nobody to sort of crowd our space. We don't like nobody to intrude on our territory. We don't like nobody doing things what supposedly be our will. If this is supposed to be God's house, why are we not doing godly things? Amen. On Tuesday, the Sanhedrin challenged Jesus' authority. You know, sometimes people want to know who gives you the power to say that you are the Son of God. They wanted to know, who exactly are you? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that they said it was going to come and save them from their sins? But we got to realize that Jesus said that he will come again. It was on that Tuesday that he was anointed by Mary. It was on that Tuesday that Judas bargained with the Jewish leaders to betray him. So Tuesday was a terrible day in the year of our Lord. For some things were going on that were not pleasing in the sight of God. Well, nothing really happened on Wednesday that we note in the Bible, but on Thursday, that's when Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples and he instituted the memorial supper that we call the Lord's Supper. And Jesus said, as often as you do it, you do show my death until I come. Now, those of us that know anything about the Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper, we find that there's a table that has been put in place. And this table is a sacred table. This table is a table that represents the Lord's Supper, where we celebrate and commemorate the fact that Jesus said, as he sat with the disciples in the upper room on that Thursday night, just the night before he was to die, he shared and he took a piece of bread. And after he had broken that bread and after he had blessed it, he said, "Eat this, for this is my body that is broken for you." He took a cup of wine and said, "This represents the blood that I'm going to shed on Calvary for you." He said, "Drink ye all of it, and as often as you drink of this cup and eat this bread, you do show my death until I come." But I believe that they sat around the table, they didn't realize that Jesus was really getting ready to die. Don't you know, if we were there on that blessed Thursday night, there are those of us now, we don't like to take communion, but we feel like we are not worthy. But I like to think about the fact that every time I remember what Jesus had done for me. Well, now if you look on the table, it is imprinted there, "This do in remembrance of me." So it's not talking about remember your sin or remember your shortcoming, but remember what Jesus done for you when he was stretched out on Calvary's hill. And if I don't know about you, but if I know that I know that God died for my sins, then every time I get a chance to take a piece of his body, every chance I get a chance to drink a little bit of his blood, I want to have just a little bit. We ought to want some bread. We ought to want some wine. Glory. On Friday, he was betrayed and he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was formally condemned on that Friday. On that Friday, one of his main boys, Peter, denied him. You know how it is. Some of y'all that say, "I'll go with you all the way." Some of y'all that say, "Cade, you can depend on me." Some of y'all that say, "Cade, if you need me, call me." But you're sitting there wondering and hoping, "I don't never call." There's going to come a time that the phone is going to ring. My voice is going to be on the other side. And I just might have a need of some sort. And I don't need to hear a whole bunch of excuses. What I need to know is that you're going to say and do what you said that you're going to do. We got to learn how to keep our mouth shut. We're not going to do what we say we're going to do. Anybody in here know what it's like to be down and out or to fall out of fellowship with God and you begin to talk to your God? You say, "Lord, if you see me through this problem, Lord, I ain't going to do that no more. Lord, if you take care of this situation, I'm going to start going to church every Sunday. I'm going to start treating my family right. I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to go to Sunday school." And just as soon as everything get back on level ground, we come out with our bag of excuses as to why we can't do this, that, or the other. But what if Jesus? What if he had decided to come down off the cross? Wouldn't be nobody in here because we wouldn't have nothing called church. We find that on that Friday after they killed our Lord, that same night Judas committed suicide. That same night they mocked our Lord and crucified him between two thieves, buried him in the tomb. But then Sunday, Jesus was raised from the dead. Sunday, somebody said, God's not dead, but he's still alive. I believe this morning that he lives. But there are those that for whatever reason don't believe in the power of God. Now, to believe is to place one's trust in God's truth. One who takes God at his word. To take as to be true or real, to have total confidence and faith in God. As we look here, as it's recorded in the gospel according to St. Mark, the Bible tells us that three women went down to the tomb of Jesus. And they went down with spices and ointment to anoint the Lord our Savior. They realized that I love my Lord. And as they were on their journey to go down to the tomb, they were beginning to think about the fact that there's a big stone in the way. And I don't know how we're going to get the stone out of the way, but I do believe that God will make a way somehow. Well, now the Bible said that after they got there, the stone had already been removed. And at the, on the inside, the Bible said that they saw there sitting a man, a young man in white apparel. This man was an angel sent by God. And this angel said unto the people, unto these three women, they said, be not afraid. Don't worry about it because we got some good news to tell you. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, but he's not in here anymore. He's got up out the grave just like he said that he would. Now, when Jesus was risen early that day, the Bible says there appeared to him first Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told them that had been with him. But you know, as they were there, they were weeping and they were mourning and they were in grief. Think about it for a moment. Their Savior, the Messiah, had died. They forgot about the fact that he told them that on the third day he was going to rise again. So now they are still there, rattled up all in their grief. But the Bible said they mourned and as they wept, and Mary came in and told them, don't cry no more. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He got up out the grave. But the Bible said they believed her not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two men that were walking along in the countryside. And they went and told everybody that they saw that they believed that God had risen from the dead, for they seen him for themselves. But the Bible says that neither believed they them. So there's two occasions where the good news had been spread that Jesus is alive. But everybody that heard it did not believe. After when he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had been sent unto them. It's a bad thing when you don't believe in the word and the power of God. But Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So if you're a believer this morning, salvation is yours. But if you don't believe that Jesus got out of the grave, then I don't know why you're here this morning. For you're damned to hell if you don't believe in the power of the Almighty God. The Bible says all these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up servants and drink and deadly things, and nothing will happen to them. Don't you know God has all power? All you got to do is believe. But a lot of folk don't want to believe sound doctrine. A lot of folk don't want to believe that God will make a way out of no way. Sometimes we miss our blessing because we don't fully believe in the power of God. Sometimes we don't get where we need to be because we don't have a believing spirit. Sometimes we get lost in our sins. But I stop by to let you know this morning that all you got to do is believe in the power of God. You got to have more than a zeal of God. You got to know more than somebody talked about God. You got to know more than mom and them said that Jesus is real. You got to know more than what your pastor said. But you got to know it for yourself. You got to go to the Lord in prayer. And I believe this morning in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, brother, my heart desired prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, some folk heard about Jesus. They heard about how he made a way out of no way. Somebody heard it over 2,000 years ago. They put him away in a borrowed tomb. And early on that Sunday morning, he got up out that tomb. Christ is not the end of the law. To righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith, of which I'm preaching about right now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Anybody in the house, do you believe in the power of God? Salvation is near. Salvation is ours this morning. Somebody in the house got to know before themselves that I love the Lord thy God. I know this morning that the Lord will make a way out of no way. I somebody let you know that all you got to do, you don't have to shout like I shout. You don't have to run like I run. You don't have to cry like I cry. But somewhere down in your heart, you ought to believe that God is real. You ought to believe that God loves you. I found out that God loved me. He is my friend. I'm glad that I got a friend by the name of Jesus. And I heard that the Lord loves me. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I stop by to tell somebody, all you got to do is believe in God. All you got to do, open up your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised up on Calvary's hill. They stretched him high. They stretched him wide. But I'm glad that he lives. Anybody believe? Are you a believer? I believe that he lives. I believe that on the third day, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. And I found out that Jesus is my friend. Somebody said, no greater love than this, than a man that will lay down his life for his friend. The hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs are bad. Anybody sinned in your life? Anybody fell out of fellowship? Anybody need the Lord this morning? I want to let you know, all you got to do is believe for yourself. Open up your heart. Know that God will make a way out of no way. I'm glad, John, that when I laid down early this morning, I didn't lay down by myself. But my friend, he laid down with me. He got up with me this morning. He told me, go into all parts of the world. Preach in season and out of season. Touch them that need to be touched. I found out that if I believe in the power of God, God will. God will make a way out of no way. Are there any believers in the house? Anybody believe? Are you a believer? If you believe in God, you ought to be able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I believe that he is the best thing that ever happened to me. I found out that I couldn't get there by myself. But Jesus said, I am the blood that'll wash you whiter than snow. Every one of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When Jesus bared his cross and went up Golgotha's hill with your sins and my sin on his shoulder, I found out that all I had to do, that believe that I got a cross and you got a cross that you got to bear. But don't worry. All you got to do is keep on keeping on. Press toward the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to stop now. Because I see my Savior's face. And I found out that if I trust God and do what God said do, that I'll be able to bear my cross. No cross, no crown. See, if you don't want to go through nothing, then you're not going to get nothing. But somebody said, anything worth having is worth working for. But let me tell you one more thing, and I'm going to be finished. When you read where Paul wrote there in Romans, hallelujah, it don't cost you no money. All you need to do is get up off your pride. Let that pride go. Stop looking out the side of your eyes. Stop hunching your neighbor. And stop worrying about pointing your finger and saying, it's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer. And then what you got to do, you got to believe that the God that you're talking to, he hears your mama cry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Glory. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Coming to church ain't going to get it. Paying your tithes ain't going to get it. But nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in that blood. And all you got to do is believe. Do you believe he's your father? Do you believe he's your comforter? Do you believe that he's your bridge across troubled waters? You got to believe in the power of the Almighty God. That's all you got to do. When the report came back, and those that heard the word of the saints of God did not believe. But another saint is here this morning as a servant of the Most High God. And I wonder this morning, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? You know, you might not have salvation this morning, but I'm here to offer salvation to you this morning. You don't have to leave this place and not be saved. Now, getting salvation, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have joy anymore. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have a friend. Now, you may have some associates that when you get Jesus, they don't want nothing to do with you. Because you're not interested in that same old mess you used to be into. But when you get Jesus, you might lose a friend or two. But God got a household of folk that are waiting on you to come into the sheepfold. All you got to do is believe.